pray. Holy One, thank you for your guidance. Forgive us when we get ahead of your plans, and help us to know when to stop and listen for your direction. Your ways are perfect. Thank you for offering gentle grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Last year, I began to write a daily reflection that was often based on what my spirit was attuned to on my morning walks. I had no idea what was going to come out of all the time, but of prayer and listening. I may not have listened correctly all the time, but I figure God will use whatever I believe I heard. Listening is our bridge to the wisdom of sacred texts and spiritual teachers. It is an essential part of discernment, where, like Elijah, we can hear the still small voice of the divine. Henry Nouwen writes, to listen is very hard because it asks of us to so much inner stability that we no longer need to prove ourselves by speeches or arguments, statements, or declarations. True listeners no longer have an inner need to make their presence known. They are free to receive, to welcome, to accept. We need to speak only half as much as we listen. And the story of Samuel is about listening, hearing the word of God. Samuel, the son of Elkanah, of Ephraim, and Hannah, was born in answer to the prayer of a previously childless mother. In gratitude, she dedicated him to the service of the chief sanctuary at Shiloh, in charge of the high priest Eli. And in today's reading, Samuel is sleeping in the temple itself when he is awakened by the sound of his name being called. Samuel, Samuel. He runs to Eli, who tells him he didn't call him and sends him back to bed. And it happens again with the same results. And then the writer tells us, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time Samuel hears a voice, he goes again to Eli, who tells him that if he hears it again, he is to reply, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Once Samuel has answered in this way, the Lord tells him of the awesome judgment that he would bring against Eli and his sons for their lack of faithfulness. And in the morning, when Eli asks Samuel what the Lord tells him, Samuel was too frightened to speak. But when Eli threatens him, he spills the beans. He spills out the prophecy. And when he had finished, Eli confirms that Samuel has heard correctly. It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. One never knows where the Spirit of the Lord blows. And it was a young boy chosen to hear the voice of God, who had rescued the people from slavery, gave them leaders like Moses and Joshua to guide them, and after a long journey, were given a land to settle. Listening for God is an important life skill, and God is not silent. We live in a noisy culture that often speaks in ways that are contrary to God's voice. It can be difficult to hear God if we're more in tune with the voice of this world. Eli mentored Samuel by teaching him how to respond to God's voice. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In other words, I'm ready to hear what you have to say, and I'm ready to obey. And God speaks to us in many ways. He speaks through creation, giving testimony to his faithfulness and creativity. And he speaks through the word, where we come to understand his nature and his purpose for us. He speaks through wise mentors in our lives. And he speaks through life situations, opening and closing doors. God speaks by his Holy Spirit, equipping us with gifts and passions to use for service in his kingdom. A genuine call is not sought after and usually comes as a surprise, although it often follows a period of seeking and preparation. It is also persistent. If ignored once or twice, it returns even stronger. Young Samuel is a prophet in training, and he did not know the Lord yet, but when he heard his name called in the night, a time when our guard is down, all is quiet, and we are most likely to hear the whisper of God's Spirit. And he was given an unpleasant message to deliver to Eli. But Samuel's training was just beginning. For now the Lord's hand was upon him and would so remain for the remainder of his life. And there is this beautiful and interesting image that spoke of his spiritual formation. The last line of our text, the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, Samuel's words were weighty, spiritually valuable, and loaded with power. They were not wasted on idle chatter, but reflected the divine will. And he was the instrument that God used to anoint the first two physical kings of Israel, Saul and then David. Training ourselves to listen, as one author writes, is grounded in ordinary life experiences. We need to listen to the rhythms of life, narratives, and creation, rather than settling for a one-sided relationship with God in which we speak but never hear back. We can learn to hear God as we go through our lives. And the key is paying attention to the moments that make up our days. And as we participate in the world around us, God speaks to us. Through creation, through the stories we tell, through our pain, and as we follow God down unexpected pathways. And learning to listen doesn't happen in 10 easy steps, but it is a process of approaching the world with wonder and curiosity as we seek to make sense of what it is that we hear. Hearing God takes time and practice. It requires willingness on our part, a desire to know where our life is headed. Research studies report that we spend about 45% of our time listening, but we are distracted and preoccupied or forgetful about 75% of that time. And I think those numbers go up as we age. The average attention span for adults, are you ready for this? 22 seconds. Immediately after listening to someone talk, we usually can recall only half of what we heard. And within a few hours, only about 20%. Judaism teaches that we cannot see God, but we can hear God and God hears us. And it is through the word, speaking, listening and speaking, that we can have an intimate relationship with God as parent, as partner, the one who loves us and whom we love. God in Christ is not an object, but a subject that we can relate to in intimacy and love, as well as reverence and awe. Well, I can't remember where I read this, but I read the other day that young Sigmund Freud, who for most of his life was estranged from Judaism, but he called psychoanalysis the speaking cure. But maybe it is better described as the listening cure, based on the fact that listening itself is therapeutic. And again, it's interesting that it was only after the spread of psychoanalysis, particularly in America, that we get that phrase that comes into the English language, I hear you, as a way of communicating empathy. Listening is profoundly spiritual. It is perhaps, and many of you can attest to this, one of the most effective forms of conflict resolution. Its purpose is to provide an opportunity for all parties to be seen and heard. And listening lies at the heart of any relationship. It indicates that we are open to the other and open to the still small voice of God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Listening does not mean agreeing, but it does mean caring. And listening is the climate in which love and respect is growing. And our relationship with Christ is an ongoing lesson in our relationships with other people. How can we expect God to listen to us if we fail to listen to our spouse, our children, our friends, or those who are affected by our ministry? How can we expect, I would attest, to encounter the Holy Spirit if we've not yet heard to listen? On Mount Horeb, God taught Elijah that he was not in the whirlwind, the earthquake, or the fire, but in the still small voice which we can only hear if we are listening. And crowds maybe are moved by great speakers, but I have found in my life that my life has been changed by great listeners. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Whether between us and God, or us and other people, intentional listening is always the prelude to love. Let us pray. Lord, I wait upon you, I pause, still my mind and still my heart. I wait upon you. I stop and listen beyond the everyday. I wait upon you, I rest, and allow my soul to have space. I wait upon you, quiet, at rest, held. I wait upon you. I know you have searched me and you know me. I know you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I know you are the Redeemer. I wait upon you, allowing your grace to penetrate my whole being. And in this place, close, protected, and eternal, I find that this grace renews my strength, wipes away my tears, and promises new hope. I wait upon you, Lord, listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Amen.